It is the last Sunday of the year. This last week, I had stumbled across a radio program that I hadn't listened to in quite a while. And the program was using a question to kind of help facilitate as a catalyst to draw out some thoughts and insights about our New Year's approach. And the question was, what time is it? What time is it? Very interesting. Of course, this day has everything to do with what time it is. But I just, especially over the last couple of years and this year again, I just find it very interesting how a tick of the calendar that signals the end of one year and the beginning of another causes a wave of consideration to pass over humanity, right? This is a time when there is maybe more mass internal consideration and external adjustments than any other time of the year. And it happens every year, and there's just something, I don't know if you want to call it unnerving. To me, it's always a little, I don't know, unnerving that, wow, another year is gone. It's gone. There's no getting it back. There's no redos. It's just gone. And I think part of that is that maybe for a few minutes, we realize how not in control we are. Right? Time waits for who? Nobody. Nobody. It just goes on, and so we stop and we realize there's this sense of reality that we're really not in control, that things are going to happen, things are going to pass by, and the funny thing is that the response to that, our response to that is in bulk to try to make decisions to be more in control next year. So in the realization that we're not in control, what do? We try to find ways to be more in control the next year. I'm not against New Year's resolutions. I think it's good to stop, to take stock, to look back. We're told to consider our lives in Scripture, right? But I think that realization that we have that we're not in control is a good realization to keep front and center every day, because it will help us in our decision-making process. Right? Because there's just some things we're never going to be. Right? Right. Okay. Very good. I'm glad everybody got that. All right. So today, I'm not going to try to preach the 12 steps of getting it right in the year of 2024. Right? Because we're not in control. That's not a bad thing, because we know who is in control. Okay? But I do want to consider some thoughts that stuck in my heart in regard to the question, what time is it? What time is it? Now, on this show that I was listening to, a gentleman quoted a dean of students from a seminary. I didn't get his name. I don't know where he was at, but I liked what he had to say. I think it's very appropriate. I think it's been appropriate since Jesus came, but seeing how we're living today, let's embrace it today. And here's what he said. He said, in regard to what time is it? He said, it's time for the people of God to receive the power of God to accomplish the mission of God. That's what time it is. That's what time it is. Now, I like that because I'm not going to try to be too smart, but there were two different words that they used in the Greek for time. Chronos meant a span of time, and then there was another one that they used that was along that lines that meant a specific time. And this one captures both of those. We are living in a specific time, but what we do in the specific time affects a span of time, okay? So it's time for the people of God to receive the power of God to accomplish the mission of God. That is a moment-by-moment way of living. It's not a decision that I make to try to do something next year. It's what I do with today. It's what I do with right now. And it's why I like that. I think one of the biggest things, and we'll talk about this a little bit today, that we get caught in is just focusing on something out in the future and totally missing what God's doing in the present. And I'm here to tell you that God can only work in your life today, as far as we're concerned. I mean, he's already done things beyond us. But as far as I'm concerned, the greatest working that God will ever do is going to be today. It's today. And scripture tells us that as long as it is called today, if you read in Hebrews chapter 4, that I am to walk with him and to learn to rest with him. And so anyway, what time is it? Well, it's time for us to be engaged with what God's doing. That's what time it is. Receiving his power to accomplish his mission. And I think this ties in pretty well with the series that we just finished up, considering our Christmas scene, first responders, and that was 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, which said this: however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, and what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And I think the statement of time by this dean in the school captures the essence of the statement that this is the time that the Spirit of God is working. God is doing something. When we talked about through Christmas, the deep things of God, don't make that too deep, because it's not out of our purview. It's just below what's happening on the surface. God's things are deeper than what we see on the surface, and we understand that. We're told in Scripture not to live by the things that we see, because our God works in the unseen. But we are given a promise that the Spirit of God came to help us understand what God was doing, and he came to empower us to walk out what God is doing, and he came to bring the grace for us to do that. That's what time it is. It's time to be a part of what God's doing right now. Not 6 months from now, not 2 weeks from now, not 3 years from now, but today. Today. All right. And I always come back to this on New Year's. I always will. There's a couple of verses I always use in a New Year's sermon. You're going to hear them again this year with a couple others. So let's get to it. All right. I like a statement that Paul made to the Galatian church. And it ties in with this. What time is it? Okay. So here we are. New Year. What time is it? We can look back and go, oh wow, you know, yet the last year wasn't what I thought it would be. Can I let you in on a little secret? Next year, when you get to this day, you're going to look back and you're going to go, wow, last year isn't what I thought it was going to be. Okay, all right. A little spoiler for you for 2025. It's just the way it's going to be. It's not going to be what you think up here. And can we? Practice something next year. We're not going to get it right, but we're going to practice it anyway. And that is releasing the power of the gospel from the chains of our own understanding. Can we do that? Right? I think I like the sign that Val put out in the foyer with the lion. Go read that. God doesn't need us to be his PR people. He just needs us to be about what he's doing. Okay? And to do that, though, sometimes we have to release the gospel from the chains of our own understanding. Right? That's what makes it ineffective so often. So here, I like what Paul says here to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. He says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I really like that. My greatest goal setting can be based on staying in step with the one who empowers me, as opposed to self-willing a better version of myself. Right? Isn't that what happens? A lot of times around New Year, people look out, they're a little frustrated with what happened last year, they're looking out, what time is it? It's time for change. I need to change this, I need to change that. I want to be a better version of myself by this time next year. Well, I don't want to be a better version of myself because myself was never that good to start with, but I would like to be transformed. See, we do this for transformation, not so that we can become a better version of ourselves. Is God transforming your life, or are you just looking for maintenance? He didn't come to maintain what you have. What is it? Romans 12 says, get it up on the altar. Let it burn up in view of all the mercies of God. Like, let him transform your life. This is why we do. I want next year to be transformational. You know what that means? It means I probably don't know what it's going to look like. But I want to be transformed. I'm not asking God to give me a better version of what I had last year. God, I want to be transformed. I want to be changed. I want to be in step with what you're doing. And that's moment by moment, isn't it? It's moment by moment. How many of us really live moment by moment? Most of us are living a minimum of a week out there, sometimes a month out there. Like, I'm doing today so I can get to something out in the future, rather than just going, I wonder what it looks like to be in step with God today and to realize that. And you know, the Israelites had a pretty neat thing that they did at one time anyway. In the Psalms, it says, seven times a day I will praise you. And that's, they would just stop wherever they were seven times a day and they would look around. They would just begin to praise God for what he was doing right there. And I think it's that type of attentiveness that should mark our lives to what God's doing, right? Because God's working isn't in the big things. That's like saying, well, God wasn't at work until they got to the Red Sea, right? That's the thing we remember. Wow, that was really cool. Well, it really wasn't so cool because they had, you know, a couple hundred thousand mad Egyptians breathing down their neck and they were going to kill them. And God wouldn't open the waters unless they needed to get through. And so in that moment, they realized God's working, but he had been working all along and he was working ahead of them. And when they got across, God was doing something else. But it's when they couldn't see that, that they begin to grumble. Oh, we'd have been better off back in Egypt where we had leeks and onions and meat pots, where we were slaves. Why did they say that? Why did they say that? Because they didn't understand that God was doing something right there in their midst in the moment. In the moment. All right. Have I beat that horse enough? Can we go on? Let's go and look at this in Scripture. So I don't want to give you a list. I don't want to give you a regiment, right? I have prayed for many years. God, I want to be in step with you. I know there's things I need to do, but my tendency is just to turn them into a habit that becomes a bondage, and the life leaks out of it, and then I just do something because I think I should do something. And I think there's more life in Christ than that. So I want to do the things, but I want to do them for the right and right reason. And the Spirit of God really kind of addressed that because I kept after him. I'm like, God, I want to do these things, but I don't just want to do it because it's rote or it's just a habit. I want to do it because it's life. And he goes, well, do it that way. He goes, you know, when you pray or when you read my word, treat it like the other functions of living that you have. When you drink water or you eat food or you sleep, he goes, you don't do those things out of guilt or obligation. You do them because you understand they're necessary and you just respond, right? In the moment, you respond, man, I need to eat something. I'm feeling weak. He goes, you should spiritually be able to recognize in your life when you need my word. Don't just get up and eat to eat. How many people eat just to eat? How many people just find yourself wandering to the refrigerator because that's what you do at 8 o'clock at night before you go to bed? It's not that you need it. That'll get close to home. All right, so I want to give you a regiment But I do want us to have the freedom of choosing fresh eyes, ears, and heart understanding each day as we avail ourselves to the ever-present Spirit of Christ. Because what time is it? It's time for us to be in step with the Spirit. If we're going to live by the Spirit, then let's keep in step with the Spirit. And that is a moment-by-moment way of living. Okay? Am I conscious of this every moment? Absolutely not. But am I becoming more conscious of it as I go through the day? Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's, I think, good ways of starting and addressing this, and it's not hard, and I like simple. So, I want to consider a couple of abiding principles for our daily life in Christ journey. I said abiding, and I want to go back. We haven't visited John chapter 15 in a while, so I just want to go back. I want to read the first five verses of John, because this is some of the last things that Jesus said before his crucifixion, some of the last things he says to his disciples, probably some of the most important things. You always put the most important things at the beginning and the end. Everything Jesus said was important, but I think this is really important. Look at what he said to his disciples. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. So this is abiding. Okay? Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I think it's so interesting that before, just shortly before this, Jesus told his disciples, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another like me. Who is that? It's the Holy Spirit. And Paul tells the Galatians church, if you're going to claim to live by the Spirit, then you need to abide in the steps of the Spirit. Remain in him. Is that a once a week thing? Is that what happens when we come to church on Sunday? It's part of abiding. What about the other 6 days? Abiding is a moment by moment. You don't abide once a week. You don't just abide in your prayer closet. You don't just abide when you open your Bible. You abide when you drive to Kalispell. You abide when you go to the post office. You abide when you're making dinner. You abide when you're processing through that hard relational situation. You have an opportunity to abide. The Holy Spirit is doing something. And the reason that we find ourselves wanting to go back to Egypt is because we don't understand the working of the Spirit in the moment. We make a habit of that. We get disheartened and we go, well, it was better back there. Well, it wasn't. But it looks that way if you can't see what's below the surface. And who gives us the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the heart to understand? The Holy Spirit, right? So it's not a matter of whether I'm smart enough. You don't need knowledge to do this. It just takes desire. Am I willing to be in step with what he's doing? Am I willing to let him transform my life? Am I willing to let him unseat me from what keeps me comfortable and take me to the place where he's working? Am I willing? It really probably isn't going to require a lot of me other than simple obedience. But it's kind of unnerving. God, what are you going to do? Just keep in step, you know? How many of you had kids and you were trying to get them someplace to do something? And they're, what are we doing? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? And you're just like, just listen and do what I tell you, right? It's just that simple. And as a parent, you know it's that simple, but they don't get it because they can't see it, and they want to know, and all they can think about is their friends out doing someplace, something else, playing baseball, swimming, fishing, whatever, And it's like, no, this is necessary because this is not only good for you, this is good for our family, this is good for our community. But how, why, when are we going to be done? It's like, just do what I tell you. Just keep in step. You ever gone with a hike with somebody and they get you on a trail you don't want to be on? You're like, man, I'm afraid I'm going to go off the trail. No, just follow in my steps. You'll be okay. Yeah, but I could die. You certainly could, but keep in my steps and you'll be okay. Keep in step with the Spirit. Abide. Jesus said, apart from me, apart from my Spirit, apart from what I am doing, you can do how much? Nothing. So how much planning to create a better version of yourself, what's it going to accomplish for you by 2025? Nothing of eternal value, for sure. Nothing you can keep, for sure. Nothing that can't be taken away. But Paul said, if you're going to live by the Spirit, just keep in step with the Spirit. So, what are a couple of abiding principles? And I want to say something about abiding. Abiding is practicing the rest of God's placement. Do you know that he's placed you? And I'm not saying he's created all the situations that surround our lives. We do get choice, right? I like what somebody I admired said. They said, we are given the sacred right of choice. We are not given the right to choose the outcome of our choices. So there are things that surround our life that are of our choosing. But God even knew that. And I want to rest in his placement because at the moment I submit to him, he becomes Lord of every situation in my life. Even if I did some bad choosing, he now exercises his lordship over that. Does that mean I'm not going to have a harvest in that area? Probably not, but he's going to get me through it, right? So he becomes, there's nothing out of his purview. So I'm practicing the rest of his placement. God, here I am with you. I want to keep in step with you here, not when you get me out of here. I want to walk with you each moment of each day. And I want to be, what was the word I used in the first responders? That they were aware. It didn't mean they knew everything, but there was an awareness in them of God's moving. I want us to have a greater awareness of God's moving. I want our antennas to be up because I'll tell you what, there are times the signal will come in so strong that it will get your attention. You'll stop and go, oh, wait a minute. This is a moment. God, you're calling me. You know, in a kingdom, I thought about this. You got a king and the king has lots of people that minister to him. He's got cupbearers, he's got bakers, he's got gardeners, he's got housekeepers, he's got people that tend his stables. He has people that take care of clothing. He's got all these people do all these things, builders, you know, the list goes on and on and on. But each one of them would drop what they were doing at a moment's notice if the king spoke. They were all aware of who it was they were working for. And in the moment he spoke, they were ready to do whatever was necessary. You never heard the cupbearer say, I'm sorry, sir, that's not my job. Oh, I'm sorry, you just lost your head. God doesn't do that, but isn't it funny? We're like, well, I'm just going to pay attention to the things I think are my job. No, we should have an awareness that God is working. We should have an awareness that most of the time we don't know what he's really doing, but we know that he's guiding us, that he has us, that he cares for us, that he's our shepherd. He's leading us beside the still waters, causing us to lie down in the green pastures. He leads us through the valley of the shadow of the death. We don't have to be afraid because he's with us, right? But when he speaks, we're ready. We're ready to be in step with what he's doing. And sometimes it's just the awareness, and sometimes it's specific. And I think both of those are very important. I want a greater awareness of his working. You want to know why? Because that keeps me looking for him each moment. Like, God, what are you doing here? And so the next time I find myself in that hard situation, instead of going to my default, I stop and ask a question. God, what are you doing here? Because you are doing something here, and I want to be in step with what you're doing. I don't just want to live by default, right? I want to be in step with the Spirit. So a couple of abiding principles. Principle number one, and I use this every year. Does anybody know what the passage is? You'll know here in a few years because I come back to it every year. Psalms 90:12. I put here, this is the principle. The Spirit of God treats every day as the most important day. Now, you might not, but he does. You want to know why? Because this is where he is doing the will of the Father. This is where he is giving us the things that belong to Christ. This is where he is teaching us. This is where the kingdom of God is happening, is today. Yesterday is gone, and we do need to remember. I like in Psalms, it says the works of God were meant to be remembered. Okay, we do need to remember because we learn, we perceive. But God's activity and his working is right here today. And so the Spirit of God treats every day as the most important day. Now, if I were to go out and I were to take a survey, I'm just guessing, I haven't done this, but you could do this if you want to. Go into Walmart, see what you get. And you begin to ask people, what's the most important day in your life? Some people might tell you about a day that happened a long time ago that did something in their life that set them on a course. But a lot of people are going to look ahead and they'll go, well, the most important day is the day that this happens because this is what I'm working towards. And when we live like that and get in the habit of doing that, we just trip over each day. We just trip through each day because we got our eyes fixed on this thing out here in the future. And in Proverbs, we're told that wisdom is in the presence, face-to-face, of the one who has understanding. But the eyes of the fool are on the ends of the earth. The Spirit of God treats every day as the most important day. Now, if I'm going to be in step with the Spirit, what am I going to have to practice doing? I'm going to have to practice treating every day as if it's the most important day because, God, I don't know what you're going to do today, but it's important because you created this day for a purpose, and I want to be in step with what you're doing today. Is that hard? No. Very simple. Actually simplifies our lives. I don't have to know what's going to happen today. I just need to know who controls the day. And just to say, God, I want to be in step with you, and I want to have a greater awareness of what you're doing. And if specifically you call upon me today, oh, I want to hear your voice, and I want the grace that you provide to honor you as King and to do as you've asked me to do. That's not an everyday event in my life, but there are some days that I can remember that I heard him speak. And, you know, I get a choice. But can I tell you that when the higher the awareness, the greater my responsiveness to his speaking. Because if the awareness is low, I'm distracted. And you know what I do? I begin to lean on my own understanding and I reason away the opportunity and step over it. Right? The heightened awareness, I go, oh, that's God. I don't want to miss this. Well, that scares me a little bit, but I think you've prepared this. You've made it ready. I'm just going to step into it. This is something deeper than what I could see, and you're giving me eyes to see and ears to hear and heart to understand what you're doing right here in front of me. And I get to partner with you when he calls my name. But the awareness is important because it helps me in the response. So Psalms 90 verse 12. I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. I like this. Moses wrote this, by the way. Help us to remember that our days are numbered, and help us to interpret our lives correctly. In the New American Standard, it says, help us to understand, it doesn't say this. If you go study this out, help us to understand the value of each day. Help us to understand the value of each day is what Moses said. Help us to remember that our days are numbered and help us to interpret our lives correctly. Set your wisdom deeply in our hearts so that we may accept your correction. You know, I have found one of the greatest values of the awareness of God is the correction that it brings to my course. Just an awareness. Some people call it a sensitive heart, being sensitive to the Spirit. The awareness that he's moving, we go to step into something, we go, well, I'm just not right with that. You know, that didn't used to bug me. But now I have an awareness that this isn't the place that the King would have me to be. Set your wisdom deeply in our hearts so that we accept your correction. I will never forget, I truly enjoy what Psalms 23, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff were protection and correction. Your correction comforts me. God, I think you're trying to spare me some pain that I've been experiencing in my life. Thank you for comforting me. Thank you for helping me stay in step with your Spirit. Thank you for the awareness of who you are and what you're doing today, because today is the most important day to you. And I want to value today. I want to, what did Paul say? Buy up each opportunity because the days are evil. Yeah, that's being in step with the Spirit. So help us remember that our days are numbered and help us to interpret our lives correctly. Set your wisdom deeply in our hearts so that we may accept your correction. God does not start working when we accomplish a goal. His greatest working in our life is today. I think that's another snag when we get to the second thing that we're going to look at, is that we're so goal-oriented that we believe that God starts to work when we get to the goal, and we miss his moving and working every day, because today is the most important day. Psalms 118, verses 21 through 24. I like this. I will confess, praise, and give thanks to you, for you have heard and answered me, and you have become my salvation and deliverer. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Now, we have an accomplishment here, don't we? No, we have a goal that's reached. This is a prophecy. It's speaking of Jesus coming. And so we understand that this has happened. I just kind of want to draw that out here at this point. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is from the Lord and is his doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has brought about. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So this passage is written pointing to a specific time, but it finds its fulfillment every day from that day forward. Okay? It pointed to a place, but now this is the reality of each day. Each day, what does it say? I will confess and give thanks, for you have heard and answered me. You have become my salvation and deliverer. Where is he your salvation and deliverer? Today, right here. Salvation is not an event. It's not a happening. It's not a place in time. It's ongoing. God's salvation is day by day by day by day by day by day by day. He is my Savior when? Today. If he's only my Savior back in 1975, I'm in trouble. Right? Right? It's present with us. He is an ever-present. Okay? So this, when you look at this verse, it pointed to a time, but when it reached the climax, it reached that time, it became an ongoing event from that day forward. It didn't stop. Okay? So the stone the builders rejected has become the chief Cornerstone, okay, that happened. But that's as true today as it was on the day it happened. This is from the Lord, and it's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Is it still as marvelous in your eyes today as it was the day you first saw him? I want it to be. I'm not just talking about feelings. I'm talking about that event was transformational in my life. And maybe I've moved from transformation to maintenance. God goes, no, it's supposed to be transformational every day. Just keep in step. Keep in step. This is the day which the Lord has brought about, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. What's the most important day? This is the day that the Lord has made. I know. I'm beating this to death. I think this is important. I think this is part of a transformational life, is understanding that the Spirit of God looks at each day and he goes, oh God, I can't wait to show them what you've done today. It's the most important day. And if we're going to keep in step in the Spirit, we at least have to be aware of that. Otherwise, we'll start to believe that some other day is the most important day. And who knows if we'll ever get to that day. This is the day that the Lord has made. He is my salvation and my cornerstone for living. His work is marvelous in my sight, and every day I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I wrote here, Spirit of God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand the value you have esteemed to each day as we yield ourselves to your moving and direction. Abiding principle number two is prayer. I think we're going to spend some time on prayer this year. But when I say prayer, it's probably not the prayer we have accustomed ourselves to. Okay, so when I say the word prayer, don't pull up your folder on prayer. Just put that down for a minute and let's talk about prayer. Let's talk about prayer because when Jesus was here, he told his disciples, if you can't receive this kingdom like a child, you're probably not going to find your place in it. Children aren't complicated, they're simple. And I think prayer is a lot more simple than we make it. So prayer, this is an abiding principle. This is a principle of abiding. A prayer of simple, willing availability and attentiveness that permeates every activity of the day. It is the earnest prayer of the heart that declares our dependence on and anticipation of God in the day that he has prepared for us. And it's captured so well in Jesus' instructions to us in the sermon that he gave on the mountain. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, one of my anchor verses, Jesus told us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Now, righteousness is how God sees it. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty to know how God sees it. To know how God sees it, we need to have eyes that see the things of God that are deeper than our own understanding. And who gives us those eyes? The Holy Spirit, whom we've already decided we need to keep in step with. So this prayer is just simply, God, I want to be in step with what you're doing. I understand that I don't perceive well with my natural eyes what's going on. But I'm hungry and I'm thirsty to know what you're doing. And God, I'm simply just presenting myself and saying, would you show me your way so I can walk with you today? God, this is the most important day. I don't know what you have planned for today, but would you give me a greater awareness of how you're moving? If you call my name, would you say it loud enough for me to hear? God, would you give me abundant grace to honor you in all of this today and to walk it out. You know, it's such a simple prayer. See, prayer is a means of positioning myself to be in step. Prayer is not a means of ordering God's steps in my day. I think that's our mistake in prayer. We let God know what needs to be done, and we're totally oblivious to where the Spirit of God's putting his feet. Because we live by what we see and what we hear and what we understand. And we got to release the gospel from the chains of our understanding. Say, oh God, what are you doing? What is your Spirit doing today? How are you moving? Would you help me to be in step with him? Even beyond my understanding. See, we don't stay in step with the Holy Spirit by what we understand. We need to learn. We need to know the Word of God. But I need to hold it like this. Okay, God, you've given me something that I could probably mess up in a heartbeat if you gave me a chance. This is your word. I believe what it says is true. But I also believe that your ways are higher than my ways and your understanding's higher than my understanding. And I need eyes to see and ears to hear and heart to understand what you're really doing in this so that I can be in step with you in it and that I don't just begin to use it in whatever seems right to me, because there's a way that seems right to man, but the end of it is death. God, would you help me today to be in step with who you are, because I want transformation today. You know, if you put 365 transformed days together, you're going to look back and go, wow, look what the Lord has done. Can't wait to see what he does this next year, right? God, I want to be aware of your good pleasure and the moving of your Spirit as I move through this day. Help me grasp and buy up the opportunities that are of eternal value that I have been in the habit of stepping over. Don't you love that? You want to know what that is? That's simple repentance. Wow, God, I've probably been stepping over. Boy, I would never be so bold as to say, yeah, I'm constantly in step with the Spirit. A lot of days I get to the end, I go, what am I doing? What am I doing? Where am I? How did I get here? Right? On the other hand, don't get to the end of a rough day and believe that you haven't been in step with the Spirit, because maybe you have. But I'll tell you, as the awareness grows, you'll be able to discern the difference between self-inflicted bad days and just days of walking with the Lord through the valley of the shadow of death and going, I'm not going to be afraid because he's with me. Yeah, it's a rough spot. It's a rough spot. But you know what? In this world, you will have tribulation. But take heart. Why? Because I have overcome the world. And if you're in step with me and you're abiding with me, you got nothing to be afraid of. I'll get you where you need to go. It will come out right. All things will work together for the good, to the good. I got to say it right, because when you say it wrong, you get the wrong meaning. All things work together for good to those, it's perception, to those who love me and who are called according to my purposes. So I can look at anything that's going on in any day and say, you know what, God? You have the ability to cause this to work for good in your kingdom. And I'm going to stay walking with you as we go through this. Okay? We say it, all things work together for the good. It's not what it says. It says all things work together for good to those. To those. What's the good? The good's God's plan. When I look at God's plan, I go, yeah, that's good. Even if it isn't good for me in the moment. Okay? We got to do that. Why? Because if I believe that being in step with the Spirit of God is always being in the good, guess what? I'm not going to be in step with the Spirit of God, because sometimes he leads us through tough places. Right? Yeah, he does. You want to know why? because there's other people in tough places that need to know the hope that he provides. May the God of all hope so fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may abound with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit who works in you. Be in step with him. This prayer is a hungry prayer. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst to know how God sees it. It's really simple. God, I know you value this day. I want to value this day the way you value this day. Would you help me? And then listen. Listen. And I want to be aware of what you're doing. I believe this is the manner of prayer that God spoke through Solomon at the time he dedicated the temple in Jerusalem. And we probably all heard this. We probably all quoted it. But I think it's much simpler, and I believe that it just incorporates those principles of repentance and simplicity. He said, if my people, God said, if my people, my people, my people, who are his people? Let's say in Romans 8, it says, those who live by the Spirit will be called the children of God. Who are his people? It's those who have the heart to stay in step with the Spirit of God. Right? Go read John's three books at the end of Scripture. He's pretty point blank about those who belong to God and those who don't. I'm not kicking anybody out of the kingdom. I'm just saying. He has a lot to say about keeping in step with the Spirit of God. Who do we love? Are we in love with ourselves and our plan and our purpose? Are we in love with the kingdom of God and what he's doing? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from... I wish he would have written their good plans. Because our good plans are a slap in the face of God. They're wicked ways. When we turn to them over the path that he is calling us to. Right? When does good become bad? When it goes against God. I don't care how good it is. I don't care how noble it is. I don't care how righteous you think it is. If it's going the opposite way that God said to go, it's wicked. And it leads to death. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. I'm here to tell you, we have never been in a better time to be in step with God because his promise is still true for today. He said, hey, if you'll turn from your path, and you'll keep in step with me. First, I'll heal our relationship, and then I'll heal your land. Pretty simple. We can add a lot of yeah buts to that, but I don't think he did. I think he made it simple. I would like to see God heal my land. You know what that means for me this year? Hey, Brent, keep in step with me. Let me get you where I have planned to get you because I have something for you to do there. And when you do what I've planned for you to do, there will be life. And others will find life. And the more people that find life, the more this place has changed, the more it's transformed. So the little prayer, I want this to be simple. You should be able to take this with you and go, you know what? Maybe I want to try this out for a month. Maybe you should commit to trying this every morning for a month. And maybe at the end of the month, you'll go, I want to keep doing this all year long. But you can come up with your own prayer. But this is kind of my, God, thank you for this day. I want to know you and follow in your steps today. I'm asking for eyes that see, ears that hear, and a heart that perceives what you are doing in the midst of the day you have prepared for me. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. It's so simple. It's a positioning, it's a posturing before the Lord to say, I want to be in step with you today, because today is the most important day, and this is where you're working, and I want to be a part of that, and I want to look back, and I want to see a string of those days, and I want to see what you have done that was beyond anything I could have asked or thought or even imagined. But you did it, because you're God. Father, we thank you. Here we stand. God, what time is it? What time is it? Is it just another year? Just another 365 days? Just another ticking of the calendar? Or is this the day that we just say, God, we want to be committed to being in step with your Holy Spirit, the promise of what is to come, the one who reveals, the one who gives us the things that belong to you, the one who leads us in the truth, the one who empowers us to do your will. Oh, Spirit of grace, come upon us. Give us an awareness. Saturate our lives with the presence of heaven, that we would have an awareness of your moving, that we would be transformed. God, convict us. Convict us. Sow your word deeply in our hearts that we would receive your correction, because it is a comfort to us. And that we would walk in the fear of the Lord, in awe of who you are, anticipating your goodness, ever looking for your working. God, with a great desire and a willingness to be in step with what you're doing. We thank you for all of these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.